Welcome to ContourCurrents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm your host, Skylar, and today we're diving into some fascinating research from Archive that spans quantum error correction systems and dynamic sparse attention architectures. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. We'll also be covering some exciting RISC-V news, including early benchmarks from SpaceMIT's 16-core K3 SoC and insights from the RISC-V mentorship program. Let's get started. Our first paper today comes from Junyi Liu, Yili, Yilun Xu, and colleagues, titled "A Scalable Open Source QAC System with Sub-Microsecond Decoding Feedback Latency." Now, you might be wondering why we're talking about quantum error correction on a computer architecture podcast, but bear with me. There are some fascinating parallels to classical processor design here. Quantum error correction is essentially the quantum computing equivalent of ECC memory or redundancy in our classical systems. Just like how we need to detect and correct bit flips in DROM, quantum computers need to constantly monitor and correct errors in their qubits, which are incredibly fragile and prone to decoherence. The challenge is that quantum error correction operates on a completely different timescale than classical systems. While we might tolerate milliseconds of latency in classical error correction, quantum systems need sub-microsecond response times. Think of it like this. If classical error correction is like having a security guard who checks the building every hour, quantum error correction needs a security system that responds in nanoseconds to any disturbance. What's really interesting from an architecture perspective is how the authors approached the system design. They didn't just focus on the decoding algorithm, which is what most quantum computing papers do, but instead took a holistic view of the entire system. They looked at control systems, data flow, and real-time constraints, which is exactly the kind of systems thinking we need in classical processor design. The paper demonstrates how they achieved sub-microsecond latency through careful pipeline design and parallel processing, techniques that translate directly to our world of classical architectures. They are essentially building a real-time control system that needs to coordinate thousands of operations with precise timing. Sound familiar? That's exactly what we do in modern out-of-order processors, just with different constraints and timescales. The second archive paper we're covering today is Dynamic Sparse Attention, Access Patterns and Architecture by Noam Levy. This one hits right at the heart of what we're seeing in modern AI accelerator design and memory hierarchy challenges. Dynamic sparse attention is a technique used in transformer models. Think ChatGPT and similar large language models, where instead of computing attention across all tokens in a sequence, you only compute it for the most relevant ones. It's like having a conversation in a crowded room where you only pay attention to the people who are actually talking to you, rather than trying to listen to everyone at once. The problem Levy identifies is fascinating from a computer architecture perspective. While dynamic sparse attention reduces the computational load, which is great, it creates what I'd call a cache nightmare. In traditional dense attention, you have predictable access patterns. You know exactly which key value pairs you'll need, and you can prefetch them efficiently. But with dynamic sparse attention, the access pattern becomes completely unpredictable and token dependent. It's like trying to design a cache system for a program where the memory access pattern changes completely with every input. Imagine if every time you ran the same code, it accessed completely different memory locations in a completely different order. That's essentially what's happening here. The key value working set becomes fragmented, volatile, and impossible to prefetch effectively. This translates directly into poor cache locality and stalled decode throughput. Levy's work is important because it's one of the first to really dig into these system-level implications. Most AI research focuses on algorithmic improvements, but Levy is asking the hard engineering questions. How do you actually implement this efficiently in hardware? How do you design memory systems that can handle these chaotic access patterns? The insights here are crucial for anyone designing AI accelerators or working on memory hierarchy optimization. We're seeing similar challenges in other domains too. Anytime you have adaptive or data-dependent algorithms, you run into these cache locality issues. Now let's shift gears to some exciting RISC-V news. First up, we have early benchmarks from SpaceMIT's K3-16, core RISC-V SoC covered by CNX software. This is significant because we're finally seeing high core count RISC-V processors hitting the market with real performance numbers. SpaceMIT's K3 represents a major milestone in RISC-V adoption. We're talking about a genuinely competitive multi-core processor that could challenge ARM in certain market segments. What's particularly interesting is that this isn't just a proof of concept or research chip. It's designed for actual commercial deployment. The 16-core configuration shows that RISC-V has matured to the point where vendors are confident building complex, high-performance systems around it. From an architecture perspective, the K3 demonstrates several key advances in RISC-V implementation. The fact that they're achieving competitive performance with 16 cores suggests they've solved some of the cache coherency and interconnect challenges that have historically been pain points for RISC-V multi-core designs. The early benchmarks, while still preliminary, show promising performance characteristics that put RISC-V in the same conversation as established architectures. This is exactly the kind of validation the RISC-V ecosystem needed. Real silicon, real performance, real commercial applications. For companies like Andes Technology, which has been pioneering RISC-V processor IP development, seeing successful implementations like the K3 validates the ecosystem's maturity and commercial viability. It's not just about having an open instruction set anymore. It's about having a complete competitive processor ecosystem that can deliver on performance, power, and cost targets. Our next piece of RISC-V news comes from the RISC-V International blog, where developer and RISC-V mentee Animesh Agrawal shares his experience learning about the RISC-V ISA during his placement at Ventana Micro. What I love about this story is that it highlights something we often forget in our technical deep dives, that RISC-V isn't just about the instruction set specification, it's about an entire ecosystem of tools, implementations, and design philosophies. Agrawal's key insight is that the RISC-V ISA is far more than just a reference manual. When you're actually implementing or working with RISC-V processors, you quickly realize that the real complexity and innovation happens in how you interpret, extend, and optimize around that specification. The instruction set is just the contract between software and hardware. The real engineering happens in microarchitecture, pipeline design, cache hierarchies, and all the other subsystems that make a processor actually work. This resonates with my own experience in CPU design. You can read the RISC-V spec in a few days, but understanding how to build efficient, high-performance implementations takes years of experience. Ventana Micro, where Agrawal did his placement, is doing some really innovative work in this space, particularly around high-performance RISC-V cores for data center applications. The mentorship program itself is also worth highlighting. It's creating a new generation of engineers who understand RISC-V not just as an academic curiosity, but as a practical platform for real-world processor design. This kind of knowledge transfer is crucial for the ecosystem's long-term success. We need engineers who understand both the theoretical foundations and the practical implementation challenges of RISC-V processors. Finally, we have a blog post from RISC-V International featuring Karsta Asanovich discussing OneISA, Infinite Use Cases, RISC-V, and the Road to Workload-Specific Silicon. Asanovich is one of the original architects of RISC-V, so when he talks about the state of the ecosystem, it's worth paying attention. His central thesis is that RISC-V's real strength isn't just being open or free, it's being infinitely customizable for specific workloads and use cases. This gets to something fundamental about modern processor design. We're moving away from the era of general-purpose CPUs, trying to be everything to everyone, and toward an era of specialized processors optimized for specific tasks. Think about it. We already have AI accelerators, graphics processors, digital signal processors, network processors, and countless other specialized architectures. RISC-V's modular design philosophy makes it perfect for this trend toward specialization. With RISC-V, you can start with the base integer instruction set and then add exactly the extensions you need for your specific application. Need vector processing? Add the V extension. Need cryptographic acceleration? Add the crypto extensions. Need custom instructions for your specific algorithm? RISC-V makes that possible too. This flexibility is something that proprietary architectures simply can't match. Armor x86 vendors have to balance the needs of their entire customer base when adding new features. With RISC-V, every implementer can make their own trade-offs. Asanovich's point about 2026 being a pivotal year resonates with what we're seeing in the market. The combination of mature tool chains, proven silicon implementations, and growing software ecosystem support is creating a perfect storm for RISC-V adoption. Companies like Andes Technology, with their proven track record in RISC-V processor IP, are well positioned to capitalize on this trend toward workload-specific silicon. That wraps up another episode of Condor Currents. We've covered some fascinating research from quantum error correction systems to AI accelerator memory challenges, plus exciting developments in the RISC-V ecosystem from commercial, silicon to mentorship programs. Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technology's RISC-V processor IP Kalpata and Sati portfolio. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check the show notes for links to all the papers and articles we discussed today. Tomorrow, we'll be back with more cutting-edge architecture research and RISC-V innovation. Until then, keep those pipelines full and those caches warm.